All right, all right. How's everybody doing today? All right, that sounded kind of weak. How's everybody doing today? Sounding better. Let's try it one more time. How's everybody doing today? All right. I want to thank you, everyone, for your birthday wishes for me yesterday. I appreciate it. I love it. I tried to respond to as many people as I could. But just know that that's what makes everything so special for us is family and friends and doing life with those that believe in Jesus and believe in the things that God has called us to do. Amen? Anybody ready to talk about some God stuff today? I don't know about you, but I get excited when I talk about God stuff. How many enjoyed Pastor Corinne's message last week? So awesome when she speaks. Not only is it awesome, I kind of get like a half a week off when she speaks. So let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us, doing through us. God, I thank you for the journey that you have us on. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us your insights, give us your strategies that would cause us to be successful, that would cause us to be more than a conqueror, that would cause us to be undefeated. Let us grab a hold of those promises, those principles, and challenge us in our heart today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, I want to tell you that we live in times of fear and anxiety and stress. How many would agree with that? 2020 was extremely stressful. 2021 didn't really let off that much. There's a lot of fears that are unresolved in the world today, right? There's a lot of difficulties that are being faced. And so even as there is kind of a calming of the pandemic, it seems like there's still unrest and there's uncertainty. And I don't know, should I wear the mask? Should I do the thing? Should I do this? Should I do that? And so there's all these worries and concerns and even fear. And that's the climate of the world that we live in today. But I believe that God has a solution. Anybody here believe with me that God has a solution to every problem that arises? So I want to talk to you about a particular thing that is God's solution to fear. If you will go with me to Matthew 8:23 today, I want to talk to you, and I even brought my pillow today, so we could talk about sleeping in the storm. Look at somebody, say, sleeping in the storm. Sleeping in the storm. Say it a little louder. Sleeping. All right, let's get to this. Matthew 8:23 says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him saying, Lord, save us, we're gonna drown. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. So, wow. Sleeping in the storm. Just say it with me one more time. Sleeping. I want to tell you that all of us are in a boat. We're all going somewhere. We're all on a journey. Look at somebody and say, you're in a boat. I'm in a boat, right? We're all in a boat. So whether you like it or not, you have to come to the terms with the fact that you're on a boat, you're going somewhere. It's either good or it's bad. Either you like where you're going or you don't like where you're going, but you're going somewhere today. You're either going towards a place of fulfillment or going away from it. You're either going towards destiny or you're going away from it. You're either going towards success or you're going away from it. You're either going towards godliness or you're going away from godliness. But you're going somewhere today. Whether you like it or not, there's nobody just saying static, you know? We're all on a boat. We're going somewhere. And so the greatest thing, though, that we realize is, with the disciples, they were all on a boat together in this particular story. And they were following Jesus. They followed Jesus. They got in this particular boat because they were following Jesus. And so I'm hoping today that there's some other people like me that are in the boat following Jesus. That's one of the boats. That's a particular boat that I'm in, right? And hopefully you're there too. So the disciples are in the boat with Jesus, so they should have been confident. Would you be confident if you were in the boat with Jesus? I would be pretty confident if I was in the boat with Jesus. These men, these disciples, were in the boat with Jesus, and so they should have had the greatest level of confidence. You know, if you're following after Jesus, can I tell you Jesus is in the boat with you? Jesus is in the boat with you if you're following after him. Now, if you're not following after Jesus, he's not necessarily in that boat with you, right? It could be worries, there could be stress, there could be fears, there could be frustrations, there could be anger, there could be a whole list of things that are in that boat with you. But if you're not following Jesus, Jesus is not necessarily in the boat. But we're talking about the disciples, we're talking about some people in this building that prayerfully, Jesus is in the boat with you, right? If he's not in the boat, we can pray about that after the sermon. But this is a great thing that no matter what life looks like, if you're following Jesus, Jesus is in the boat. So that means it doesn't matter what my circumstances look like. If I'm following Jesus, I know I can have a confidence. I know I can have a trust, a reliance, because Jesus is in the boat. No matter how bad it gets, how good it gets, I know Jesus is in the boat with me because I've decided to follow after him. And this amazing thing happened in history when Jesus came to earth. It was the revelation of Emmanuel, God with us. Somebody say that, God with us. So everything forever changed because when Jesus came to earth, it was God with us. And then he said, even though I'm going to leave, I just want you to know I'll be with you even till the end of the earth. I'll be with you. So I'm going to send my liaison, the Holy Spirit, he's going to understand that I'm going to be with you always. This concept of Emmanuel, God with us, is not going anywhere. So I understand that if I'm following Jesus, he's in the boat with me. When I go to work, Jesus is there. When I go back home, Jesus is with me. When I go on vacation, Jesus is with me. When I get into some uncharted waters and I'm in unfamiliar territory, guess what? Jesus is with me. When I go through problems, when I go through trials, when I go through great moments, when I go through trying moments, Jesus is with me. Jesus is in the boat with me. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is in the boat. So they're in the boat, the disciples, Jesus in the boat with them, but then a furious storm comes. Somebody say furious. Furious. It says it was a furious storm and waves are coming up over the boat. That's pretty big waves. Small waves splash up against the side. Big waves go over the boat. So it's a furious storm. It's big waves. Now, this is not just simple type of storm. This is the type of storm. These are the type of waves that wreck a ship, that capsize, that flip your ship upside down, and that worry seasoned sailors. These men had grown up around the water, grown up as fishermen. They would not be afraid of a sprinkle. They were worried. They were fearing for their life because it was a furious storm. And I want to tell you that it's not that you're never going to see any problems now that you're a Christian. You know, these disciples were up against a huge problem, life-threatening problem. But God's promise is not that we'll never go through anything. It's that Emmanuel, he will always be with us. He never promised you that it's going to be easy, that you're never going to go through anything, that everything's going to be perfect, there's always going to be clear skies, there's never going to be any storms. No, he didn't promise any of that. He said, I'll be with you. I'll be in the boat with you. No matter where you go, if you follow me, I'm going to be in the boat with you. So what we see here is that the disciples get caught up in the moment. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've gotten caught up in the moment, right? And so I'm not necessarily a person of fear, but I've been in certain circumstances where I got caught up in the moment and I got caught up into the fear. I knew better. I knew Jesus was in the boat with me. I knew that God is got my life in his hands. But for whatever reason, in that moment, I gave in to the fear. See, these disciples, they should have known better. They traveled with Jesus. Jesus was literally in the boat with them. They should have known better, but they still gave in to the fear. Sometimes there is moments that, as believers, we have to make sure that we fight fear because fear is trying to come on us. The enemy is always creating scenarios that will cause debilitating fear. Right? That's one of the major things that he does. He wants to create an environment that just sucks out all the faith. And all of a sudden, you're a person of faith and you love God and you're trying to do your best to follow after what he's called you to do. And you find yourself in an environment of fear. You find yourself trying to fulfill purpose in an environment of fear. It's an impossible situation. You can't fulfill your purpose in the middle of an environment of fear. But the enemy's trap, the enemy's trick, the enemy's bait is to create environments of fear. And so these men that had traveled with Jesus, that had shown great faith, that had shown great dedication, they wake Jesus up. Can you imagine, you know, when you're sleeping, there's a way that you like to get woken up and a way that you don't like to get woken up. Now, men, husbands, those that will be husbands, let me tell you, your wife doesn't like to just get woken up anyway, right? Sometimes, I had to learn this, you don't just wake up and start flipping lights on. When I was single, what I would do is I would wake up, and it helped me to adjust to the day, go ahead and start flipping on those lights. Pastor Corinne doesn't like that. She does not like the light flippy in the morning. You got to come in with a gentle, contrite spirit. Says, I like to be woken up with kisses in the dark, not with lights on in my eyes. Okay. Jesus is here. He's asleep on the boat. The disciples come. Jesus, save us! I don't know about you. I don't want to be woken up that way. These men of faith, personally discipled by Jesus, all the faith had been sucked out of them. They forgot the fact they're on the boat with Jesus in the flesh. They wake him up in this environment of fear. But Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. Somebody say, but Jesus. But Jesus. But Jesus was sleeping. See, Jesus is not doing what everybody else is doing. Everybody else was running around, going crazy, going bonkers on the ship. But Jesus was asleep. Jesus was at rest. Jesus was the greatest prophet that ever walked the earth. Let me tell you something. He knew exactly what was going on, but he chose to sleep. He chose to be at rest. Jesus was sleeping on the ship. Other people around him were doing all kinds of different things. Can I tell you that it's not so important what the rest of the world is doing. It's not so important what everybody around you is doing. It's important what Jesus is doing. I want to take my clues from Jesus. It's not that I want to be oblivious to what other people are doing. It's just that it's more important for me to keep an eye on what Jesus is doing. Because Jesus is going to do things differently. You see, the sailors, they reverted back to the natural way of doing things and the natural solutions for solving problems. And they had been trained by Jesus, but they reverted back to the natural way of thinking. But you see, Jesus wasn't doing things that way. He was doing things supernaturally. Did you say that word with me? Supernatural. You see, if we're going to be sons and daughters of God, we have to learn to operate the way Jesus does, and that's supernatural. See, the people that were in the natural in the boat were yelling and screaming. The people that were operating supernatural, which was Jesus, was at rest and at peace. The way of Jesus is contrary to the natural. Jesus was not doing things by the natural. And if we want to be like Christ, we can't do always what is natural. We have to understand the supernatural. We can't try to solve the problems like the world. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus came and he introduced ideas and concepts and solutions that were so vastly different than the Romans thought, than the religious community thought, than everybody else thought. He said, love your enemies. This was a foreign concept. It was not birthed on earth. It was not a natural idea. This was a supernatural, it was a divine thought. And so if we, as God's people, want to come with solutions, they have to be kingdom solutions. Kingdom people have kingdom solutions. Pastor Krim was talking about causes. There's a lot of causes going on right now. There's a lot of ideas flying around to solve things in the natural. Can I tell you? Jesus didn't solve things by the natural. Jesus came with a supernatural idea and a kingdom principle, something divine that came from heaven, and he brought solution to the world in that way. If we want to be like Christ, we have to look to solve things supernaturally. Kingdom people have kingdom solutions. It doesn't mean that your supernatural solution might not involve some natural aspects about it, but I'm not looking first to the natural. The answer is not going to come from the world. The answer is not going to come from the natural. The answer comes from the supernatural. It's vastly different. It's Jesus sleeping on the ship versus the disciples running around the ship. See the difference? There's a contrast. There's a difference in approach. And with all of the motion and commotion that the disciples did, it brought no fruit. Jesus, minimal amount of motion, maximum amount of fruit, maximum amount of effectiveness. Why? Because the supernatural is exponentially more powerful than the natural. Jesus is sleeping. What is sleeping? What is this? What was Jesus trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us to rest. He's trying to teach us to be at peace. He's trying to teach us to trust in God. Jesus was in the boat sleeping because he knew nothing could take him before his time. Nothing could take him before his time. And listen, when people come to me and they're like, Pastor, how do you do it? How do you have peace in the middle of the storm? I say, I take my cues from Jesus. I take my cues from Jesus because I know that there is nothing on heaven or in the earth that can take me before my time because Jesus is in the boat with me. There's nothing that can take me before my time because I'm standing on the promises of God and I'm moving in obedience to his word. So the devil can't touch me. He can try. I can sleep in the storm because I have a different perspective about life. Faith has given me a different perspective. It's not a perspective of being oblivious, but it's a perspective that I see the storm in a different context. I'm at rest because I'm at peace, because I have trust in the God that I serve. I'm at peace, I'm at rest, I can sleep because I know the God that I serve and the promises that he has given me. He told me he would never leave me or forsake me. He told me that I would be more than a conqueror. He told me that I'd be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He'd even make me the lender and not the borrower. So I know if I'm following him and he's in my boat, I can rest. I can rest. I can rest. So this is what happened. And my birthday buddy, Francesca, she was talking a couple of weeks ago about a heart check. And I love that. But what I want to talk about right now is a faith check. Because what happened is all these disciples that are in the boat, they're freaked out. They've succumbed to their fears. The devil put the bait out there and they took it. Hook, line, and sinker. I don't know if you've ever been there. The devil baited the hook with some fear and you agreed with it. You said, yeah. You bought it. You drank the Kool-Aid. Whatever. You were there. This is where the disciples were. And the devil created this atmosphere of fear. They agreed with it. And so the disciples gave into the moment and they said, Jesus, save us. And Jesus, he gets up, he wipes the divine sleepers out of his eyes. And the most amazing thing is this, Matthew's account says he didn't address the storm first. He addressed the disciples' faith first. He said, where is your faith? After training you, after being with me all this time, where is your faith? He didn't talk to the storm first. He talked to the disciples first. He talked to the beginning of his church. He said, where is your faith? I'm going to tell you something, and maybe you know this or maybe you don't know this, but the problem isn't the storm. The problem is the lack of faith. I don't know if you know this, but before the pandemic, there was other problems. After the pandemic, there'll be more problems. The problem is not the storm. The problem is the lack of faith. God wants his church to know, his sons and daughters to know, that the big problem is not the storm. The big problem is not the pandemic. The big problem is not the economy. The big problem isn't social issues. The big problem is a lack of faith. Because when we have faith, anything is possible. All things are possible. Actually, Jesus said, if you just got this much faith, you'll move mountains. If you got this much faith, you'll uproot trees and throw them in the sea. This much faith, and miracles will flow through your life. So the problem isn't the storm. The problem is your lack of faith. Jesus woke up, and he didn't rebuke the storm. He didn't rebuke the devil. He rebuked his own followers for having a lack of faith. Can I tell you, as soon as the pandemic hit, you know what so many Christians were doing? Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus! But do you know what Jesus was saying? Where is your faith? Because after this storm will be another storm. And after this storm will be another storm. And after that storm will be another storm. And it will continue until the completion and Jesus returns. Jesus never said it would be easy. He said there would be wars. There would be rumors of wars. There would be sickness. There will be pestilence. He already told us. But he said, hey, but I'll be with you. And I'll send you the Holy Spirit, and he will empower you to be more than a conqueror. Can I tell you today, the storm is not the problem. A lack of faith is. Jesus wakes up. He knows what's going on even before it happens. And he knows he only has a limited amount of time with these disciples, these men. The beginning of his church, and he says, guys, you got to get this faith thing right. To fulfill your purpose, to receive all that I've given you, got to get this faith thing right.
there's this great scene in Star Wars. We just had May the 4th. The 4th was with us. And Darth Vader is sitting in this room with all these commanders, and he is reminding them that there's one thing that they've overlooked. He said, "You don't understand the way the Force works." And they said, "Ah, that's antiquated. That's not realistic." And he gives one of them the Force choke. And he says, "I find your lack of faith disturbing." And Jesus woke up. They woke him up out of his sleep. He was saying, "I find your lack of faith disturbing. The storm is not disturbing me. Your lack of faith is." If God is wanting to say something to his church, to his sons and daughters, to his people, it is correct your faith, adjust your faith, fix your faith. Because if you've got faith, all things are possible. This storm is not a problem, and neither is the next storm, and neither is the storm after that, and neither is the storm after that. Sickness is not a problem. Economic things are not a problem. Political things are not a problem. If you've got faith, you will change things. If you've got faith, things will be transformed. If you've got faith, signs and wonders will follow you. If you've got faith, the miraculous will happen. But you got to fix your faith. Paul would say, "And fix your eyes." It's another way of saying it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. If you realize he's in the boat with you, you realize all things are possible, and your confidence goes up another level, and now you've got faith that moves mountains. This is the moment that it's so important for God's church to rise. If we understand that in contrast to faith, any problem is minimal. In contrast to faith, any pandemic, any sickness, any economic thing is minuscule in comparison to faith. Not a religious faith, not an amen brother faith. I'm talking about a real faith. Talking about a real faith. Because come on, when Jesus came here, he was calling people out. They looked like they had the faith thing. They looked like they had the God thing together. They did not have the God thing together. They had the walk. They had the talk. They did not have the true walk of what somebody that has faith should have. Faith is so much greater than any trial, any obstacle, any storm, any problem that we face in this life. Faith is greater. Faith is stronger. The storm is not the problem. Look at somebody and say, "The storm is not the problem." Now here's the conclusion to this incredible story. Jesus wakes up. He does the faith check to the disciples. And then at the word of Jesus, at the faith of Jesus, the storm dies. When this furious storm and furious wave come face to face, come toe to toe with the faith of Jesus, it completely dies. And the guys following him, they say, "What kind of man is this? I mean, we follow him around and he does one miracle after another miracle, and now he does this. What kind of man is this?" If we're going to ever be like Jesus and have faith like Jesus, and that's what he wants, when that happens, the world will look and they'll say, "What type of people are these?" Scripture says that we're supposed to be his peculiar people. We're different. Something different about us that people say, "What kind of man is that? What kind of woman is that? What kind of people are those that when they move, things change? When they go, signs and wonders go with them. When they say stuff, miraculous things happen. What kind of people are those? If we're really supposed to be like Christ, signs and wonders follow us. If we're really supposed to be like Christ, the world will stop and say, "Ooh, what kind of people are those?" Do you know the answers for the world today are hidden inside of God's people, waiting to be stirred up? Inside God's church. And I don't mean a building, I mean a people. The solution to all the problems of the world today are hidden within God's children, waiting to be woken up with faith, with faith, with faith. Jesus was sleeping in the storm because he knew the answer was already there. The authority was already there. The power was already there. He just needed to respond with his faith. See, Jesus, it says Jesus laid aside his divinity to walk upon the earth as a man. That means that you and I are capable of doing everything Jesus exemplified for us to do. That means at a moment, you might be called to move things in nature or in the economy or in politics. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is at work inside of us. That should give me confidence. That should stir up my faith to know I've been called to be the type of person that when I walk into my circle, into my moment, they say, "What kind of man is that? Oh, he's like Jesus. What kind of woman is that? It's a world changer." God wants to give his sons and daughters, God wants to give his church the type of faith that the world stops, turns, and asks for a solution. What kind of believer do you want to be? Do you want to be the type of believer that just knows how to talk the talk? Do you want to be the type of believer that people stop and say, "What type of person is that?" Will you bow your heads with me today? God, you're challenging us today to stir up faith in this season, to stir up faith in this hour, that no matter what is going on in the world, you're still the solution. Christ in us, the hope. Christ in us, the hope. Christ in us, the future. Christ in us, the solution. Christ in us, the power. Lord, I thank you, Father, for a greater faith. I thank you, God, for a greater faith. I thank you, God, for a greater faith. God, I thank you that something in this message today, something in this atmosphere today would wake up faith. Something in this atmosphere would stir up faith. Something in this atmosphere, God, would cause us to be who you called us to be. Not what we think we should be, not what we've conversated and come up with some conclusion about what we're supposed to be. God, who you designed us to be, men and women of faith, a people of faith, a church of faith, a church that people say, "What type of people are these? What type of man, what type of woman are these?" God, I thank you for the confidence and the faith that you are breathing into your people today, God, that this is not like the last season. This is a new season of faith. This is not like what happened last year. This is a new thing. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? It springs up even now. God, I thank you, Father, for a new dimension of faith. God, that we would not retreat into the old. We would not retreat into the things that the world retreats into, the solutions, the natural ideas that they retreat into, God, but we step into a dimension of faith just like our example, just like the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus. We want to have faith like you, Jesus. Give us a faith like you, Jesus. Teach us to walk in faith. Not by sight. Teach us to walk in faith. The faith that moves things. The faith that brings fruit. The faith that brings success. The faith that brings victory. God, I thank you for that. And maybe as we're praying today, you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I'm not sure if my direction is, my course is correct. I'm not sure if Jesus is in the boat with me today. I want to tell you today, don't leave here unsure about who is in the boat or not in the boat with you. Jesus wants to be in the boat. It's not a matter of him not wanting to be. It's a matter of inviting him in the boat. Maybe he was in the boat at one time. Maybe he's never been in the boat. Whatever it is, if that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to make sure Jesus is in the boat. Just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. This is so important. So very important. Amen. 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 If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Jesus, thank you for your desire to be with me on my journey. Jesus, I know I need you in my boat. Jesus, I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I'm sorry for the times I've gotten it wrong. I've gotten off course. The times that I sinned. The times I fell short. Jesus, forgive me today. Help me get on course. Get in this boat with me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving your life for me and connecting me to the Father and giving me eternal life. I accept your free gift. Jesus, lead me on this journey. I need you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. Oh man, how powerful. I want to tell you today, if Jesus is in the boat, you're undefeated.